All right, we can be opening up to James chapter 1. Got a very specific assignment tonight. First thing he did was remind me of a prophecy that was delivered to the prayer center. I mean, God flew these people all the way from Germany on February 28th of this year. I'm telling you, it's been life-changing for me. And he wants me to reinforce part of that tonight. Now, I'm going to read the whole prophecy. I may give you some testimony, but there's one aspect in particular tonight that he wants us to focus on. How many of you believe that he really is conforming us to the image of Christ? Could I say it another way? Is he growing us up? Does he want us to be no more children, squabbling and blown around by every wind of doctrine? But does he want us to grow up to a mature child, son and or daughter of the living God? Yeah, I think God's ready for us to have our bar mitzvah. You know what a bar mitzvah is? You know, that's when the young man, I believe, isn't it age 13 when they go from 12 to 13? I think that's when it is. And part of that celebration is our child, we declare this day, he has become a man of age to participate in the family business. God is about ready for us to begin participating in the family business. The family business is to go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil and to seek and to save that which is lost. And he's trying to grow us up to maturity where we're not little children anymore. Well, this prophecy has done a lot to slap the childlikeness. Now, on the other hand, we're supposed to remain children at heart. You remember that? Who's the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus says, bring me a little child. But what he means by that is not full of ambition, not full of, you know, lust of money. Most little kids don't run around, you know, little kids. You know, they don't run around trying to get more money. They might want more toys. But little kids, you know, they got teachable. When Dave would teach us on it, he said they're 100% teachable, and that's how he wants us to remain. All right? Anyway, I'm going to read you the prophecy. Now, if you want to look it up, it's at Dave's website. This one is on February 28th, 2016. The title they put on it is Use the Key You Are Not Liking. Use the Key You Are Not Liking. Last year, when we were here, I had a picture. And I saw a sword, and the sword was wonderful. And God said, you are a strong sword. And I saw how the sword was made through fire and pressure and water. Now, she's talking about the collective sword, if you'll allow me, of the prayer center. Okay? The sword being the tongue, being the word. This time I was visiting here, I saw the picture of the sword. It was not used. A little bit rusty, and a different sword. It was really ugly. Some stuff from the old battle was on it. And the Lord says to you, you need a cleansing. Now that's talking about the sword. Your sword has to be cleansed again. And you are in preparation to use the sword again because the battle is ahead. And you are strong enough to do the battle. But you have to cleanse. The old stuff has to get removed. Some people are not over the old battle. You need to get over the old battle so that you prepare for the new one. And you are so victorious and you have everything. The grace is available to do everything. You have these seven keys of Revelation here. Quote, the message, seven keys, and some of the keys are not used. You have your favorite key. You pray in tongues a lot. Others like fasting, or you assimilate the word. You are word people. You should use this, the key you are not liking. You should look and find it in your house. Where is the key that I don't like? Maybe it's worship. Some of you need to sing out, to sing yourself out of the trouble you are in. Are you hearing that? Look for the key you never use for a long time, or the one you didn't use. And that's what the Lord is saying to you. Well, and so being transparent, I always try to be. People seem to learn as much from my mistakes as my successes, you know. To me, I envision ministry as we're serving off the Lord's table. Jesus has paid the price for everything. Let's talk about like healing, salvation, deliverance, whatever you need. The Lord has loaded up this banquet table. Jesus has paid the price for it. We're supposed to be serving off of the Father's table to the world. Does that make sense to you? Now, in my case, though, I have like a little table. I go get stuff and I put it on my table to serve to the people. When I look at my table, you know, table's supposed to be level, right? Well, my table has two long legs. There's two keys that I like, and had two really short legs. And I knew when I heard this prophecy that was not going to work anymore. See, if you got a real slopety table, you got a table here with four legs, two real long ones, two real short ones, and you're trying to set stuff on it, does that work real well? Oh, man. And I knew as soon as I heard that, I knew what it was. The two legs that I like, that are easy for me, are anything to do with the Word. Study the Word, confess the Word, assimilate the Word. Those come. People say they have trouble getting into the Word. I have trouble getting out. I mean, Dave would talk about getting into worship and whole, you know, hours would go by, you know, and his tea would get cold. Y'all remember those days, you know? I'm like that with the Word. I'll start, and if I'm not careful, I'll look up and 3-4 hours has gone by, and it just, you know, because I'm there. To me, it's like a movie. I get caught up in this thing, you know. Man, we're holding up Moses. I'm right there holding up Moses' arms. You know, the battle's going on. I can taste I can hear the clang of swords on shields, and I can almost taste the dust in my mouth getting kicked up. Man, I get to meditating, you know. I've been in that boat going across the Sea of Galilee so many times, I'm surprised when I come out, my hair wasn't wet. Been in there, bail, give me another bucket, bail, we're going under. Jesus, don't you care? Anyway, the Word, and in praying in tongues, that's easy for me. I mean, I guess because I cut my teeth on it in the trucks, and so it's just always come real easy. But those other two? I don't know why on worship. Well, for one thing, I can't sing my way out of a paper bag, okay? I mean, and every one of these, right now, I'm just being transparent a little bit. Is that okay, family? So I'm doing these Hillsong songs in the mornings. Does that make sense? You don't know who Hillsong is? See, and my voice is good for teaching. God gave me a good voice for what I do, but it is not a voice for singing. And every one of those songs is in the wrong key for Gary. I mean, I have to, and I really love you. I have to turn it way up high, or I have to get the next octave low. And I really, it never is in my key. It's not. It's never this. Whatever I speak in, nobody sings in that. Nobody sings. So, I really love you, Jesus. You know. But, I mean, it's comical. If you ever saw this in my living room in the mornings. But I'm forcing myself anyway. I still remember what that one preacher said. He said to another preacher, he said, you know, I used to ask the Lord to help me with my singing. But after I heard you sing, now I'm asking the Lord to help you with your singing. Well, boy, I can relate with that. I don't know if that's why, but anyway, I took this prophecy to heart. And then plus, Angie went with me and her husband this year to Jim Martin's conference in Dayton in April of this year. And one of those services, I mean, I don't know what you would call it, but the Holy Ghost just took over that service. And the scheduled speaker did not ever get to speak. And the only thing that happened for, 2.5 hours was worship. Nothing else happened. Nobody else could. I guess you could have been in rebellion, but you'd have really been in rebellion. And something broke in Angie. We happened to be sitting right next to each other. You know, it's one thing to have to cry enough to where you see, you know, tears run down your chin. But I was sitting right next to her, and I saw tears hitting on the carpet floor. And I broke too. Something broke in both of us. And it's not been... Okay, I'm trying to be transparent. It's not been easy since then, but it's been possible. Okay? And I've been doing... So one of my regimens one of my regimens. I want to be a disciplined follower. So Brother Jim shared some materials with me that helps me every morning, whereas used to I would spend that first hour in prayer or the Word. Because of this prophecy and because I need to get my legs on my table straightened up some, instead of doing what's easy, the first hour goes to worship. Or I'm singing like this, or I'm singing like this, but anyway, I'm singing. And I'm worshiping. And I can tell, now every day is not, I'd like to tell you that the ceiling of my living room opened up and liquid sunshine poured down from heaven and I felt the brush of an angel's wing and heard Gabriel's trumpet. No, most of the time it's just me singing in a really bad key. But there has been a few times where my soul would break. Somehow he comes through or I get through. I don't know which way it is yet. But something happens. And I can tell it's having an impact on me. And I can tell that there's things I won't be able to tell you till later. You know, sometimes you can't tell stuff till you're through it, right? But there's some more things that's happening in me that have been a lifelong problem for Gary. What are they? They are absolutely none. Yeah, they're none of your business. I may get to tell you later on. You got stuff. Don't sit there so holy with me. You know? But they're breaking. He knows what they are, and I know what they are. And they're breaking. I can tell they're breaking. It's having an impact on me. Well, Gary, what's the other short leg on your table? You guys already know what the other short leg on my table is. Fasting, man. I hate fasting. So, Angie and I, we made this commitment at the first of the year. See, and part of me hates to even tell. I say, Lord, do I have to tell this? I don't want to lose my reward. You're supposed to keep fasting secret, aren't you? But if you're a teacher, you also got to teach. Well, so anyway, not wanting to leave things to chance, we decided, okay, you got to start somewhere. Now, I know most people, this is a wimp-out fast for most of you. I mean, I'm a real wimp. Oh, what are you going to do? I'm going to do a Daniel fast where I get to eat every single day. You got to start somewhere. And, you know, well, the Daniel fast, you can read about it. You don't eat any pleasant food. You know, there's no sugar and there's no, you know, the stuff that you like, that's what you don't eat. And, you know, and it is mild. I'll admit to anybody it's mild. That's not really, you know, New Testament fasting is just water, okay? I agree. I'm doing some of that too. We decided to do three, though, 21-day Daniel fast the first quarter of the year. We'd take a week off that fourth week and then get right back to it. Plus, every Monday, we would do a water fast. I'm telling you, every single Monday, there are plenty of opportunities to abort this mission. And about the 20th, 18th, 19th day. Now, if you don't think it's going to have an effect on you, it does. I'm telling you right, your flesh wants what it wants, when it wants it, all the time. You're feeding it carrots and it wants pizza, you know. Mine throws a hissy. I don't know about yours. Mine throws a little hissy. But I am noticing things there too. Here the other day, I caught myself saying this, and I know I had to be speaking from my spirit. See, because one reason I hate fasting is that I still identify too much with the flesh. Let's just tell it like it is. I identify as Gary Flesh Guy. And when my flesh hurts, I hurt. I caught myself the other day saying this. I mean, I was saying it before I realized I was saying it. I said, I'm getting to where I really like this fasting. Because the pain of fasting is finally bringing my flesh to a subservient place within me. I mean, I caught myself talking like that, and I went, who is that? Who is that guy? It's my spirit. It's the one that's been there the whole time, but he's been so dominated by the flesh, I have trouble even relating with that guy. I told Angie yesterday I was going through another one, and Monday was the tough day. Dear Lord, Monday was tough. And this time I said it on purpose. I said, I want you to know I'm enjoying the pain of this fasting. I'm enjoying it. And the reason I'm enjoying it is that it's bringing my flesh to a place of servitude where it is going to obey me as I obey the Lord. See, and it hasn't been very long. This has just been since February something. Around, we had already decided on the Daniel fast in January, and that just really reinforced it. It hasn't been very long, and I can already tell such change in me. But now the assignment tonight, I don't know what you're, maybe fasting, I mean, Nathan says fasting comes pretty easy to him, always has. I don't know which the short, he may not have any short legs. But whatever the key is that you're not liking, the one that you always do something else, like for me, I'll pray and, you know, Lord, if I pray an extra 20 hours, will that make up for no fasting? No, it won't. How often did Dave tell us? Praying in tongues will not give you what fasting does, but fasting will not give you what praying in tongues does, and neither one of those will give you what worship does, and neither one of those will give you what meditating the Word does. They're all keys. Amen? All right, so again, I want to remind you of that part. Now, tonight, that was all introduction. I'm starting the message now, so start the clock. No, I'm teasing. Come on. Had you go to James. Tonight, he specifically, I heard this, cleanse your rusty sword. That's tonight's message. Cleanse your rusty sword. The sword he's talking about is the words coming out of your mouth. Okay? Let's start here in James. And I'm going to back up plenty of time here. We're after a specific verse, but I want you to see it in the context. Let's start in 17. James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's very King Jamesy. The better translation is the residue of wickedness. The type and shadow, God got the people out of Egypt in a single day. But it took a long time to get Egypt out of the people. See, that superfluity of naughtiness or the residue of wickedness, that's the things that are still in our flesh that we love. Remember, they would say, oh, for the leeks and the garlic of Egypt, you know, longing for the things of the world. Well, it takes a while to get that out. But how you do it is receive with meekness, teachability, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So the first, Nathan has been, and I have both, have been harping on, get in the Word. And then get the Word in you. James is saying the same thing. Engrafted is literally like you take a tree and you graft a branch into that tree. My dad used to love to do that. He just loved to tinker around with that kind of stuff. He had a tree one time that had three different fruits on it. It had pears, apples, and peaches on the same tree. Now, you can't make those live very long. I mean, you know, you can do a little while, but they won't live very long. At least he never could get them to. But boy, he'd love to show that thing off. People would come, peach, apple, and a pear on the same tree. Graft it in. This is saying, graft the word into you. Graft it into you. It's got to be the sap that flows through your life, flows through your body. Got to receive with teachability the engrafted word. Just like grafting it in. If you look it up in the Greek, which I have, it literally has the picture of grafting a limb, a branch, into a tree. Okay? But that's only the first part. Once you've got it in you, see, that's not enough. Lots of people know the word. They re-study the word. They hear the word. They have the word in that sense. But notice, that's only half of it. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, if you don't ever become a doer of the word, you don't even need the devil to deceive you. You're deceiving your own self. Now, we're going to look at a real doing of the word thing tonight that nobody hardly does at all. And then they wonder why their life's a wreck. And they think, well, the devil's doing it. No, you're doing it. And you're deceiving your own self. And I'm talking to Gary as much as anybody here, okay? This, she didn't say, that prophecy didn't say, everybody's got a rusty sword except Gary. I'm right in there with the rest of you. But now he's talking tonight about let's get that rusty sword cleaned and sharpened and ready for the battle. All right? So be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Boy, every time I read that, I think of Jesus saying, if you continue in my word, you will be my disciple indeed. If you continue in my word, you will be my disciple indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See? Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Boy, I'm liking that. Are y'all liking that? See, if I was going to bait you right now, I'd go, how many want to be blessed in all their deeds, you know? And everybody, yeah, I want to be blessed. Well, and then you got the next verse. Because if any man among you seems to be religious, here it is, and bridleth not his tongue, that's your sword. Bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You look that word vain up, it means powerless, has no effect, useless, will not cause change. Be you a doer of the word. And then the very next thing he talks about is, you better learn to bridle that tongue. Now, in the way it was spoken in the prophecy, you better get the rust off that sword, and you better clean that thing. You've been letting your tongue run wild, run loose. You've been letting your tongue say things. Yes, sir. Come on. Go to 1 Peter 3:10. Probably shouldn't have left there so quick, because everybody wants to be blessed in their deeds. Everybody wants to be blessed. Nobody really wants to bridle their tongue. Most people don't. Well, it's hard. It's hard to bridle your tongue. We want to, just like your flesh wants what it wants when it wants it, we want to say what we want to say no matter what. See? But he says if you don't learn to bridle that tongue, and if we talk more there, we may come back to it in a minute. He gives several examples. You know, you can take a horse. That horse represents your life. But if you don't put a bridle on that horse will just go any way it wants to. You bridle that horse, how do you really do it? How do you bridle your life? With your tongue. But then he gives the example, so that's yours. That horse is like you on a horse. Then the next example is a ship. Well, a ship is not just you. A ship is your family, your friends, your church, your ministry. Everyone you're involved with. And you turn that rascal with a little rudder on the back. And that rudder is the tongue. What you say not only affects the direction of your life. What you say affects the direction of everybody you're connected with. Now that's the teaching, like it or not. And that's why he said not many of you should be teachers. With the tongue you can take a group to Guyana and get them all drinking the Kool-Aid. Isn't that true? All right. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 10. For he that will love life, boy, that's me. I love life. I love watching my little granddaughter grow up. I love living with Sue. I love life. And he that will love life and see good days. I won't bait you, I'll bait me. I want good days. How many like good days better than bad days? Okay, I am baiting you. I love good days. I love life. Well, how would you do that? Oh, Well, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Here we go again. If you want to have life and good days, Peter says, you better put a bridle on your lips. You better bridle that tongue. Now, why is this so vitally important in the context? See, in that prophecy, did you hear that part? We got a battle ahead of us. We got a battle. It's called revival. And the Holy Spirit's telling us not only that thing about the keys that you don't like, it also spoke about that sword. And that sword is what we say. It's talking about the words of your mouth. Now, why is that so vitally important? Go to Mark 11. Mark 11. You're never going to get this out of your Bible. It's in the Word of God forever. It's never going to change. Therefore, we have to change. I was thinking about this lesson on the way from the house to the church, and I thought, you know, just one more reason why God loves it when we spend time speaking in tongues. Because at least for a little while, our tongues make sense to Him. The Holy Spirit is only speaking that which is the will of God. And it's got to be to God like, oh, finally, finally. They're making sense. They're talking right. Okay, Mark 11. These are the classic verses on faith. See, if we're going to go into revival and function, again, we started this off saying, yes, the Lord is conforming us to His image. He's trying to grow us up. Jesus said, if you believe on me, the works that I did shall you do also. But how many of you think we need to grow up into Him? You know, can't be little children playing with dynamite. You know, the raw power. Look what He says here. Starting in Mark 11:22. So Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Some versions say, have the faith of God. I like that too. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, who does this work for? There is only one type of person that this works for, and that is the person that believes that everything he says shall come to pass. So my question is, is your back still killing you? Is your boss driving you crazy? Do you always have more months than you have money left? Do you know what to do? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. We get so accustomed to just telling what is. Thank God, at this point, the Holy Ghost is not manifesting every word that we say. Thank God. I can't even. Now I'm getting on to me worse than I'm getting on to you. Is that okay? Y'all know that I fight. How do I say this now? In the past, I have fought a problem with my back. How's that? Okay. Y'all can tell. All right? I am a miracle being manifested. It's like Alan said, I'm already healed. I'm just walking it out. Okay? I know that. All right. But if I want to be honest with you, which I try to be honest with you, even in the past week, probably at some point, oh, God, my back is killing me. Thank God the Holy Ghost did not manifest that word. And my back rose up and struck me dead. think one, y'all know I love my lily cakes. I do. I love my little granddaughter. She's not so little anymore. She's going to be 9 this month. Dear Lord. But I do think one day this past week, I think these words came out of my mouth. Sue, that girl is driving me crazy. I am so glad that the Holy Spirit at that moment did not manifest the words that came out of my mouth. But if we're going to fight the battle that he has called us to fight, if we're going to go into the revival and function like Jesus did, we have got to give up this childlike operation with our tongue and grow up. That doesn't mean we can't have jokes. It doesn't mean we can't have fun. Do y'all know what the smartest snake is? Do you know what the smartest snake is on planet Earth? Well, of course, it is the adder. Add. It does math. I don't think the Lord minds something like that. That's not the issue. No. What it is, though, you know, to tell a humorous story or something. But we do not believe. I mean, just real obvious. You can listen to me or you. you don't have, just, you can just listen. And it doesn't take very long. And you have to come to the conclusion that at this point, we're not that guy. The one, look at it again in your Bible. This only works for those that believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Now, if we was to back up, what just happened here? You remember what happened? Jesus was walking by the fig tree and it had leaves on it. But he went over to get fruit and there wasn't any fruit. Now here is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Savior. And he's talking to a tree. He's talking to an inanimate object like it has ears. And he says, no man eat fruit of thee again forever. And just walks off. I have wondered and meditated what the disciples thought. You know, you're walking along with Jesus and most of the time he's making sense. But this is the first time you ever heard him having a conversation with a tree. I wonder, you know, okay, we'll allow him that one. Let's go on with him now, you know. But on the way back, when they're journeying back that way, that same tree, they are astonished because that tree has already dried up from the roots. Now, did the tree do that? Nobody's saying nothing. See, it's not the tree that did that. It is the Holy Spirit that did that. The Holy Spirit is the molecule changer. I'm going to take you all the way back. We're going to have to turn there, but all the way back to Genesis 1. You know how it starts off. In the beginning was, the earth was void and without form, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Holy Spirit was there, brooding and hovering, you know, over the face of the deep. And the Holy Spirit is God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He is all-knowing. He is as omnipotent and all-knowing as God the Father, God the Son. So the instant that the Father wanted light, the Holy Spirit knows that. There is nothing he does not know. And he is there. It plainly says the Holy Spirit is there hovering over the face of the deep. And he's got that molecule changing power to create light, and he knows the Father wants light. But he's not doing anything about it. He's waiting for something. And then finally it says, and in our English Bible it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. But in the Hebrew it says, God said, light be, and light was, man. The Holy Spirit was waiting for something. He was waiting for that second member of the Godhead, the one known as the Word, the pre-incarnate Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were created by him and nothing was created without him. But the Word works in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the one there on planet Earth. The Holy Spirit was the molecule changer, but he didn't do anything until he received, till he heard that spoken word. In the early days when I was meditating and learning these things and praying my lips off in the cabs of those trucks, because Dave said if I prayed in tongues, it would change me. And I'm praying and I'm praying, and the Holy Spirit just brought that whole thing that I just taught you to my mind. And he says, did you notice how the Holy Spirit didn't do anything until he heard those spoken words, even though it was the will of the Father to have light? I said, I noticed that. He said, if I would not make an exception for God the Father, what do you think the odds are I'm going to make an exception for you? We're going to have to grow up, people. That is a true word of prophecy. We need our mouth, our tongue, our sword. We have allowed it to become dirty. We have begun speaking in line with the circumstances, with our emotions, maybe your personal circumstances, maybe things here at the church. In that prophecy, the Lord said our sword has become filthy. That's more than rusty. Rusty is just from non-use. Filthy is from wrong use. Is that not true? Well, how would you cleanse it? You pray for crop failure. Words are like, also an analogy is like seeds. In my own life, I've probably let my words plant lots of wrong seeds. They're like seeds. I've already done this. Let's do it together. Father, we're all praying for crop failure. All of the words that we have spoken that are contrary to your word. Father, we're praying crop failure right now. Forgive us and cleanse us once again by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name. See, and tomorrow's a new day. Aren't you glad the Bible said his mercies are new every morning? Aren't you glad for that? Tomorrow's a new day. And you know the Holy Spirit will help you. I know he's already been helping me. I've been working on this a little while. But I got to get better at it. I got to get to the place. See, and we go by this so quick. You think we think we've got it and we don't have it. I almost wish that there was a little recorder, well, that you would never hear. That I could play back at the end of the day. And just, you know, wouldn't that be scary? What did you really say? And are you glad that they didn't come to pass, those words? See? Well, I believe if we ask God, he will help us. You know, David said, Lord, set a watch upon my lips that I might not sin against thee. Amen? He'll do that. He'll help you. Set a watch upon your lips. I know he will. Now, let's read this one more time. Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. So they got two things here. You got to work on doubt also, okay? But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have. Does your Bible say whatsoever? Whatsoever he saith. See, and I don't see Jesus going around speaking a lot of foolish things. In fact, go to John 10. I wasn't going to do this one, but it just keeps coming up in me, so he doesn't want me to bypass it. John chapter 10. Everyone's familiar with Lazarus and how the enemy attacked Lazarus and made him sick, trying to draw Jesus really into a trap because the Jews were lying in wait to kill him there. And so, you know, they thought, well, if I can attack Lazarus and get him sick unto death, Jesus will come back and then these Jews can arrest him and take him to trial. But see, Jesus was following a different light. He says, I've got a light. I'm not guessing, boys. I've got a light that I'm following, but it's the light of the Holy Ghost. See? But I want you to watch this, how he words this. Okay, you know the story. I'm sorry, I said John 10, but let's do it in verse 11. Chapter 11, I mean. Verse 1. So, John 11, verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and the sister of, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, you know this story really well, so I'm not going to go through all of this. Come on down to verse 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them. Now notice what he says here. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. You see how that's worded? Then said his disciples, they're trying to get out of going, well, Lord, if he's asleep, he'll do well. In other words, he'll get better. You know, he's sick, but if he's sleeping, we don't have to go, basically, because they know that the Jews are lying in wait there to kill him. Lord, if he's asleep, he'll do well. But notice in verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death. In other words, Jesus knew. The Holy Spirit had already revealed to him that Lazarus had died. Jesus is so careful with his words, he did not want to even establish it with his mouth that Lazarus was dead. He says, no, Lazarus is asleep, and I'm going to wake him up out of his sleep. And they misunderstood. Well, if he's sleeping, he'll do well. So Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. So then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So for their sakes, later on down here, let me see if I can find it. Come on down to verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, Lazarus. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. Before I go any further, say with me, Father, I know that you hear me always. Every word that comes out of my mouth, you hear me. Okay. He was very conscious of that. Now notice, for years I didn't know why he said this, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. Said what? That Lazarus was dead. He wasn't going to say that. He was going to say, no, Lazarus is asleep, because he didn't want to establish anything with his mouth. But he says, for their sake, because they didn't understand. They just didn't understand. Father, I know you hear me always, but I only said it for their benefit, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Boy, I like this. Now, see, here's a man that believes that what he says will come to pass. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, you talk about believing that what you say will come to pass. The Holy Spirit is working with him. We can't see the operation of the Holy Spirit. But this is the same Holy Spirit that created light back in Genesis 1. Same Holy Spirit now that's getting Lazarus and bringing him out of Abraham's bosom. And bringing his spirit back into that body. See, Lazarus come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Boy, I've tried to... Have y'all ever meditated? Said he's coming. Like the mummy. It's coming. Jesus is going, loose him and let him go. Get that stuff off of him. Now, the point I'm trying to make here, you talk about somebody who believes that what he says will come to pass. He doesn't even want to speak death. You know, there's another one we could go. There's so many examples. Remember when Jairus had come? Jairus, who was a ruler, and his daughter was sick unto death. And he came to Jesus, and Jesus said, oh, I'll come, okay? So they're on the way to Jairus' house. Remember that? And here comes a woman with the issue of blood, if I'm not mistaken. She's going to touch the hem of his garment. And so she interrupts, says, can you imagine Jairus? You know, lady, I'm glad you're getting healed. Jesus, can we speed this up a little bit? My daughter's really sick unto death. This is serious, Jesus. You know, it's not said he does anything, but if he's human like anybody else I know, let's speed this up, you know. While that was still going on, it says, people came from his house and said, your daughter's dead. Why trouble ye the master anymore? In other words, it's over. Did you ever get a really bad report? Do you know what Jesus said to him? He says, fear not. Only believe. Fear not. Fear not what? Fear not that bad report. And he was also, if you'll allow me, he was saying, don't you say a word. Do you notice Jairus didn't say a word? He did not speak anything. Sometimes the best thing you can do is shut up. Jesus said, fear not, only believe. I don't care that they just came and said, your daughter's dead. It doesn't get much worse than that, does it? Fear not. And boy, Jairus didn't open his mouth. He didn't say nothing. He walked with Jesus, and bless God, he got his miracle too. Now, we're going to be raising the dead. Do you understand that? Jesus, when he sent out the 12 and he sent out the 70, he says, heal the sick, cast out devils, and raise the dead. You think that's going to happen? Well, I do too. But do you think it's going to happen if we don't learn to bridle our tongue? The Holy Spirit is molding us into the same image as Christ. That means we've got to come to the place where we believe like he believed, that everything we say comes to pass. Everything. Gary, are you there yet? Oh, I'm on my way. Huh? Better? Better? Okay. All right, one more. Luke 6. Go to Luke 6, verse 43. Now, I'll tell you a real secret here. I have learned this over the years. I've been at this a while. It is good to set a watch on your lips and to ask the Holy Spirit to help you and try and bridle your tongue that way. But there is another key that will really help. And Jesus gave it to us here in this passage. And it's Luke 6, starting in verse 43. See, you're a good tree. If you're born again, trust me, you are a good tree. All right? For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Now here it is. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. Well, how do you bring it forth? For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Now, this is a real key. What are you allowing to fill your heart? Is it to, and for me, this has been an issue. One of my struggles has been, I'm a newsaholic, have been. Even when you had to get your news from the newspapers, I subscribed to like 3 or 4 at a time. And I'd go through all of them. And, you know, until the Lord started purging me a few years ago, I'd sit there and I'd watch, you know, these news channels that we have today, you know. And I'm not going to advertise any of them, but I'd sit and Sue would walk by and said, are you still watching that? Aren't they just saying the same thing again that they said 2 hours ago? I said, they might say something a little different. Now, if Gary fills his heart with all of this worldly news, what do you think is going to come out of my mouth? What do you think? Out of the good treasure, whatever you treasure in your heart, whatever you have in there, that's what's going to come out your mouth. Well, what if we treasured the good word of God? What if we got a good report? What if we spent our time and just push? You know, now, I started to say, go turn that TV off, but nobody does that. Press the button on the remote. It's usually red, off, power, off. And go get your Bible. And then spend that same amount of time inputting the good word of God. Treasuring up that good report on the inside of you. Allowing the words and the thoughts of God to become your treasure. See, that's a real key, because out of the abundance, look at, how does he say it again now? Out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. That's one way you can bridle your mouth, is change what is in your heart in abundance. Man, if it's all worry and fear, I'm just going to name a new devil. You know, we talk about the devil of same-o. You hear a great message, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast. I already know the devil he's sending after you. That's the devil of same-o. Because tomorrow you're going to be back to the same old stuff. Same old job, same people you didn't like yesterday. Same rut, same this, same that. See? Yeah. There's another one I'm going to name tonight, and it's called chit-chat. The devil of chit-chat. I am just getting really tired of chit-chat. Most of it, to be honest with you, is demonic. Idle words, thank you. Do you know you're going to be held accountable for every idle word? I didn't bring that scripture either. You can look it up. Every idle word. Jesus says you're going to be held accountable for every idle word. Just idle chit-chat. Chit-chat normally becomes gossip. Chit-chat normally is what all's going wrong. Chit-chat is a lot of times you think you got a mountain. Let me tell you about my mountain. Pretty soon it's like what that one preacher said. He said, God said to him, he says, my people, they're always asking me to speak to their mountain. And I never told them to ask me to speak to their mountain. I told them to speak to their mountain. But what we normally do is we don't even ask God to speak to the mountain. What we do is we tell each other about our mountain. And trying to make sure you understand that my mountain is surely bigger than your mountain. And that's just idle chit-chat. That's just foolishness gone to seed. That is not the way that Jesus functioned. And it's not the way we're going to function in revival. Hallelujah. Well, so tonight's message has to do with getting the rust off your sword. You need to understand our words are powerful. Somebody says, you don't have to ask God for you to have what you say, because you already have what you say. Somebody says, I don't believe that for a minute. Well, go to James again. We'll finish up here. Now, he said over there in chapter 1, he said, if you don't bridle your tongue, verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, how you deceive in your heart? By not bridling your tongue. By speaking stuff opposite to the word. This man's religion is vain. It's powerless. It won't produce any results. Now he goes further over here in chapter 3. Verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Now the image there, usually there's one person on a horse. That horse is like the direction of your life. Right? Horses go where the reins tell them to go. And the reason they do that is the reins are connected to the bit that's in their mouth. It puts pressure and they'll go that way. Well, now he's talking about your life. And you're going to have to put a bridle on your tongue to change the direction of your life. But then notice in the next one, he says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great. He's not talking about a canoe here. I always try and picture the Queen Mary or the Titanic, a great ship. Huge, with lots of people in it. Your tongue not only affects the direction of your life, it affects the direction of the life of the people you're associated with. It has an impact. Though they are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. What he's saying in that in plain English, it's up to you. You're the one that's got control over your tongue. You're either going to start taking authority over it and believe that what you say comes to pass, or you're not. But if you want to change not just your life, the horse, if you want to start changing the church life, we're going to have to change the helm, the collective helm. And that's prophecy was to the collective sword. It's filthy and rusty. We need to quit speaking any trash, and then we need to start speaking what God has said. So I'm putting in an advertisement right now for Calling in the Lost. Calling in the Lost is one of the few services on planet Earth that I know of where you can come on purpose and be trained for about half an hour in calling those things which be not as though they were. Hardly anybody likes to come to that. Why? Because it's not, your emotions are probably not going to get tickled. But you will have some training on bridling the tongue and learning how to call those things which be not as though they were. We have it every Sunday night at 7 o'clock. You're invited. We don't even take up an offering there or nothing. I'm just saying, anyway. You can always give if you want to. Praise God. But look at verse 4. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, they are driven of fierce winds. Yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. And just so we wouldn't miss it. Even so the tongue, like the helm of that ship, is a little member, but and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Now he's talking about the natural man. He's also talking about you if you don't bridle your tongue. If you just leave it alone and let it speak what comes naturally, you're not going to like where your ship goes. You're not going to like the direction your horse is going, your life. You're going to have to bridle it. That's enough for tonight. He goes on here talking about a fountain of bitter. Dave has a wonderful teaching on the bitter fountain and the sweet water fountain. You are a sweet water fountain. You are a pure fountain. We're only letting the sword gets defiled, not by speaking what comes out of the fountain of your spirit, but what by speaking from the fountain of the world. If your tongue is speaking that stuff, it's because you're putting pollution from the world into your fountain. Dave has a great teaching on that. So how many of you are with me? My sword needs to be cleansed. And I need to get the rust off my sword. Lord, help me. Set a watch upon my lips that I might not sin against thee. Lord, help me change the treasure in my heart. I need to fill my heart with what you say. So my heart is full of the Word of God. And out of that abundance, my mouth speaks. In Jesus' name. Now just this once, call those things that be not as though they were. Say, I am a person who believes everything I say comes to pass. Everything. Everything I say comes to pass. That's a good start. It's a good start. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, I just thank you. I feel a release. I believe I obeyed you tonight. Lord, that prophecy, we thank you for sending people halfway around the world to tell us what we need to hear. Father, we're working on the short legs of our table. Lord, we're working on those keys that haven't been our favorites. And Lord, we're going to work on that sword. You're about to see a rust-free, clean, shiny sword collectively from the prayer center. We pray it in Jesus' name. And if you agree, you can say, amen. All right.